It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled. It's a Monday. What a friggin' weekend of football, and other things that also went on. Scott Mitchell, to my right, welcome to the new week, Scott.
Hey, everybody.
What'd you do over the weekend, dude?
Let's see, what did I do? Okay, I made a trip to Evanston.
Oh, you did?
Should we be talking about this? Well,
I love it.
We did the football game on Saturday.
Jeremy just made a joke in our ear. It's not a joke. He goes, what, you go get fireworks or something?
Well, there's three things apparently you go to Evanston for. Fireworks.
And?
Gambling.
Is there?
Do they have the horse races.
Oh, do they have that? Yeah. Okay. What else?
Wyoming Downs.
And then?
Like you didn't know. I'm not sure about the
third one.
Booze?
Probably booze, but the third one you don't want to ask about. Bottom line is you went and got some fireworks though, right?
Well, I was going to see which one you could guess.
I know what kind of guy you are. You're ready for a good time, and so fireworks is it, man. Well, good for you. They sell them year-round, though, don't they?
Well, here's the thing. If you go, I was the only person in the store. and they go, hey, it's your lucky day today. I said, why is that? And he said, half off.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because it's not a holiday.
It's half off every day. Half off, double the price of what they had.
Well, of course. Yeah.
It's no good.
They're way overinflated.
Why on earth do you need fireworks?
Well, my daughter's getting married.
You don't just do fireworks for a wedding.
Well, you don't just do them. You do them when they leave.
Okay.
So it's the exit.
They
have to have a grand exit.
Now, I'm going to be at this situation. Scott's daughter's getting married. And I'm there for now. I'm there for two things, food and fireworks. Boom.
Well, apparently I keep getting asked to do things. I got to give a speech.
Oh man!
And I have to dance.
No, you don't.
I have to dance.
Oh, with your daughter though.
Well, yeah.
Oh, good for you.
That's all I'm dancing.
Scott, good for you. Anything else you do this weekend?
You want to know what song I got to dance to?
It's probably like
Billy Idol, White Wedding.
Hold on a minute. That's not like a...
That's our dance.
That's not like a slow dance. You need to have like a slow dance.
Well, there's an unplugged version.
No, there isn't.
Really? Yeah, okay. There's a couple of unplugged.
I
think they're actually better.
You guys do share the love of Billy Idol.
Hello, yes.
Yeah.
This is 80s music. Come on.
Good for you guys. All right. So here's what we got going on here. We have... That wasn't the thing I was aiming at. Because I knew you called a Utah game this weekend. And you went straight to the fireworks. Yeah, fireworks, man. I went to Evanston. That's the thing you did this weekend?
Okay, Alex.
What?
When your daughter gets married, it's slightly on your mind. Just saying.
Okay,
just
so you have to. So that's the kind of love you have. Drive to Evanston for fireworks on a weekend.
That's what you do.
All right. We're going to kick things off as we always do. The show is brought to you by G2G Bars. Guess how I got through a Saturday here at the station? Two G2G Bars over the 6 hours that I was here hanging out.
You know, you can find G2G Bars in your local grocery stores.
Where at? Harmon's.
Associated Foods, Maverick.
Maverick, got it.
And Holiday Oil.
There you go.
Just so you know.
All right. Tons of protein. They taste fantastic. You don't have to choke down a protein bar you don't like. G2G, local company. They sponsor the program. Also, we're going to jump right in here. Let's talk first. Let's go full positive here. Let's jump into the cut and start off with Utah's win over San Diego State. Scott's going to break it down for us. We have a code here. We don't talk about the two games that we both covered until we get on the air, and so that's what we're doing right here with the cut. Let's jump in.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Our lives have significantly improved since we have the big screen TV in the studio here playing actual sports, right?
We don't ever want to leave the studio.
Well, part of it is I can't, half the time I can't get Scott to pay attention to what I'm talking about. He's like, did you just see Josh Allen throw that ball? I'm like, okay, I saw it. Did I see Cooper Rush beat the Bengals? Yes. There you go.
I even surprised Jerry Jones.
I surprised Cooper Rush, to be quite honest. So we have to jump in here with this Utah win over San Diego State. Very first thing right off the bat is a non-covering the game version of it. I just watched it at home, and my son and I watched this thing together. And we kind of, you know, I asked him, I said, what do you notice? What do you notice in this game? And he's like, I notice it probably should have been 56-0. Not that they should have scored more points, but it felt like an even bigger blowout than it actually was. Utah controlled that game more than I've seen. That was very much so along the same lines of the performance. They picked up exactly where they left off with Southern Utah. The defense is beyond stingy right now. There's a lot of pride, I think, that they've taken. And that's one of the things we want to ask Devin Cafusi today. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, for our weekly conversation on the Players Club. But that defense, they got absolutely laid into by their coaching staff after the Florida loss. And so my immediate reaction was, this defense played a heck of a football game, Scott. And I know the offense did well and they scored points and everything, but I thought the defense was more impressive.
I think the thing that probably stood out to me the most was they literally broke the will of San Diego State. Like they stopped fighting, they stopped competing. It got boring. Like last week, it was really fun when the second string guys got in and played well, and Jaquindon Jackson, and seeing Jalen Glover and seeing some of these guys on defense get some reps. And so from that regard, it really did because San Diego State was going. They're on their third quarterback. They're like, we give, we surrender. And of course, it was just the way that Utah played in the game, and it really did. It got boring. I mean, I hate to say it, because you get to a point, you go, okay, I really just want to get on to conference play. I really want to. I want to get on to, let's get this thing started. And the reason, you see where Utah is, and everyone thought very highly of them going into the season, and then boom, they lose a game, and they're out. They're out of the top 10. And they've won, and everyone in front of them has lost, and 2 weeks in a row, and they've hardly moved in the polls. And I think.
Do you think that's a slight, or you just think it's a function of that first loss is kind of haunting them still, and it's haunting the voters, and it's definitely causing people to go, well, we can't put an undefeated Tennessee team behind a 2-1 Utah, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in front of them right now does not have a loss, and that's going to change. It's going to change. I mean, most of the teams, I mean, there's 5 or 6 SEC schools, and they can't all go undefeated, right, because they play each other. You just have some other teams. So I'm not worried about where Utah is in the polls or whatever. I'm not upset by it. I just think that this team is massively underrated at this point. You saw these power ratings that came out about the teams in the West, and I think BYU was 1 or 2, and then of course there was USC and Utah was up there, but they really weren't.
Yeah, 3 or 4, something like that along those lines.
I've been trying to figure out, because they have some inexperienced guys, but what you've seen is guys woke up, got comfortable with what was going on, and they had ability. You know, you just see some of these young guys. I mean, I saw it a year ago where they were making mistakes. They, just inexperienced. You could just see it happening. And every week they just got better, and they kept getting better, and they kept getting better. And they made a leap from week one to week two that was just eye-opening. But then they really, really actually significantly improved to this week against a better opponent. You know, like if this team was an okay team, they might struggle. It might be a game against San Diego State. It was never a game. Like this was never a game. And San Diego State's a pretty good team, and they're well coached, and they have athletes. Utah is, I just think they're massively underrated, and I'm just excited to get to the season to see how good they really are. I cannot wait to get to USC.
Yeah, and I think that, well, you look at the rest of the schedule, it actually is, I'm not going to say it's a murderer's row because I still don't know how good or not good, you know, UCLA is a massive question mark in my head.
They almost lost.
Almost lost to
South Alabama.
Was it South Alabama? Well, the Jaguars are tough.
I mean, they should have lost.
So
that's going to be down there
at the Rose Bowl, too.
Here's the challenge with that, mm-hmm. and it's a real challenge, okay? When you get, and I saw this with Utah a few years ago. I think it was the first or second time they went to the Pac-12 championship. It's when their first game out of the gates in conference play was against USC mm-hmm. at USC.
Right.
And they had played a similar schedule to UCLA. And they were not ready for the speed. They had not played in game situations with opponents that were massively athletic. And you could just see they were behind. I mean, Julian Blackman, he was so out of place because he had made the transition from corner to safety, and he was just out of place. Like, he did not look good.
Right.
And then after that, it was very similar to going, Julian Blackman looked like Utah looked against Florida when he played USC that year. And then I was like, oh boy, they're in trouble. And then he just played lights out. I mean, he was so good.
Yeah, but so
I don't like – what I like about Utah's schedule in the non-conference is they played a tough one out of the gate. And you know what it did? It was a massive wake-up call. Like, it may be the best thing that's happened to Utah or will happen to them all season long. Because it shook them to their core. It shook the rafters. And you know, I'm telling you, these players got a massive wake-up call. And they're like, if you don't show up every week, you're going to get it handed to you. I think the Pac-12 is much better this year, but I still think Utah is a team to reckon with. And I don't think that, you know, the rankings or anything indicate, I think Utah's as good as anyone. And you know what they have? They have USC at home. And that may be the best part about their whole entire schedule this year.
I wonder if the other thing that happens is that it's a little bit nerve-wracking for you or for people who are playing Utah, I think, the rest of the year. Because now everything is Utah feels like they're playing from behind, so they don't just want to beat you. They want to embarrass you. And I think there are going to be games like this weekend coming up with with Arizona State down in Tempe, a team without – their head coach, now with an interim head coach, which is another issue that we'll talk about a little bit later. But you talk about this Pac-12, the Pac-12 this weekend had a tremendous weekend. They have just been, and part of it, I think, includes the fact that they got rid of Herm Edwards. The only way to move forward with that program is break it down. You got to throw all of that on top of the garbage heap because Herm Edwards made a mess of that place. He ruined it for probably the next 5 to 8 years. But the best thing that could have happened for that program is that they fired Herm Edwards over this weekend. So the Pac-12.
Everything you're going to deal with during a week, you know, because, yeah, we're going to talk about the Pac-12 later on.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something that's going to happen. There's going to be news of the week that's going to happen that can impact the game. So this Utah team goes, okay, we're going to Arizona. We're going to play a team just their head coach got fired. And the immediate assumption is what you're saying. Oh, well, we'll kill them. Like they're in dishambles. They're in all of, you know, all of these things. But that to me becomes scary. And it becomes scary because, you know, you get these teams. I mean, look at Washington State a year ago. They really rallied around the guy who ended up being their coach this year.
Right.
And it's continued. Right. And
Dickard
so
has got a great situation going on there.
So you don't want to, you know, and maybe the first week of, of a new coach is a disaster, and maybe it takes a little while for things to kind of get settled, but you got to go into the game and not let these distractions, whatever they are, because it appears to be a good news for Utah, right? And regardless, you just got to go play and prepare as if you're going to get the best version of Arizona State.
Excuse me. Yeah, I just think I look across the league and I look across what all these other teams did. What about on the offensive side of things for Utah?
You want to hear a crazy stat?
Oh, yeah.
This is a crazy stat. Okay, in the first quarter of every game this year, so the first three games, Utah scored 10 points.
So scored 10 points.
Total in the first three games, 10 points.
Oh, okay.
Second and third quarter?
148.
120 points.
Oh, I wasn't that far off.
120 points.
Yeah, that's a slow start.
For whatever reason, they have been a slow starter. And you watch the games, and it's not like they're not focused. We saw this a year ago. And Kyle Whittingham, what he did is he goes, if I win the toss, I'm taking the ball. So Utah would win the toss, and they'd take the football. Everyone defers, right?
Right, yeah. But he's like, we're going to go down, we're going
to
score.
For some reason, it just helped his team to kind of get into a flow. I think Utah's defense has shored itself up enough that they could handle things a little bit now. A year ago, early on, for whatever reason, it just seemed to get the team going. And there's something, because you're gonna get into a game, and I'm going to go to USC, you're going to have to score. Yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to score points. You're going to have to open it up, and you may get into a shootout against USC. But either way, you've got to be on all cylinders. And I was a little bit surprised by that. But then if I look back, it's just this team just, I don't know, too much hanging out at the hotel, something before the game, because it's just taken a bit of time for them to get going.
Well, I think that Utah's win on Saturday, when they're up 35-0, I remember just thinking, it doesn't even feel that close, and it isn't that close. Utah dominated that thing top to bottom. Certainly a different a different situation from when they played San Diego State last year. And I think that this team, when you look at it, think about where they were a year ago. They were 1-2. They were out of the top 25, right? I mean, they were on the outside looking in for a hot minute, and then it took them a while to start really getting things going. And I think that they've probably gotten it going a little bit earlier than usual, because the shock of or the sting of a loss like they had at Florida, it was kind of interesting because they lost an emotional game at BYU last year.
Yes.
But this Florida game felt like it was an absolute gut punch. There was so much on the line on this game. And to not have it go your way, now the rest of the time, they're just trying to make up for it. And so I think that's a huge advantage. It was a massive disadvantage when it happened. The loss kicked you right in the gut, and then you go, well, the overreaction was, I guess this Utah team is just going to disappoint us again. Oh, I guess nothing's going to happen. No, nothing's good going to come of this. But I'm telling you, the advantage that they have of being in a conference, and even have the conference performing like it is, it's a huge deal for them. Because now the teams that Utah is going to start playing and hopefully mowing down, your Oregon States, your Washington States, your USCs, those are going to be ranked teams when they play them all. That's what's going to happen. They're going to play USC. It's going to be a game day quality game that ESPN should absolutely pick up, right?
Oh, or there's not even going to be any question.
I hope so, right?
Yeah.
You say it's going to be it's not even a question?
No.
It's going to happen?
Heck yes. No, but are you kidding me?
The only reason
college
I say
game
it
day
should.
Is coming to Salt Lake City
it should.
In the middle of October.
It should. But we all know what happens. They pick weird freaking games.
No. Not
and sometimes
that.
It doesn't
not that one.
What week is that?
That game is
why not Notre Dame BYU that's a different week. That's a different week.
No. Yeah. It's the 15th of October.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out who BYU's playing that week. Maybe that could be – oh, there you go, Arkansas, BYU. Hey, now, hold on. Because if Arkansas starts rolling, if BYU wins a couple of these games –
BYU kept serve and won their game, they'd be a hot topic.
But they're 19. So give it 4 weeks, and if they win three or four of these next games, including Notre Dame,
from a national perspective, it's BYU just has they have to
do so much more. They have to do so much more. Yeah. Well, we'll get to BYU in just a moment. In fact, we'll do it in the next segment here. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Utah wins, of course, 35-7. It was a dominant performance at 5 o'clock today. The usual Players Club appearance by Devin Kaufusi, who I was texting with over the weekend, Scott, and I said, hey, awesome to see you guys out there in the field. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of out of the doghouse. And we're like, what? I said, why, you were in the doghouse? He goes, oh, dude, after Florida, you have no idea. I was like the king, hold me up, show my video on how badly I did on some plays. I go, Devin. He's like, no, I got through it. I've had a bet. It made me better. So there you go. We'll get Devin's thoughts on the game on Saturday, see how he's preparing for an Arizona State team that is now with an interim head coach with the firing of Herm Edwards over the weekend. Stay with us. More to go right around the corner, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes kick off Pac-12 play with a trip to Arizona State for a showdown against the Sun Devils. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, after a long weekend of college football.
I got something for you.
Good, because I kind of didn't want to dive right into
good
BYU's deficiencies yet.
This is
a good pause for a couple
this
minutes.
This is funny.
Let's hear it.
So I got a text from my oldest son, who lives in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big football fan, right? So
oh, yes.
And of course, you know, I played for the Lions, so he's aware of that.
He's aware that you played for the Lions.
Well, my kids were young when I So he said, hey, there was a pretty neat story about a journeyman offensive lineman from the Detroit Lions who got cut and came back and started for the first time in his career this week, and they got the win against you know, against the Washington football team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my son goes, pretty neat story over the weekend. This guy was cut and came back 3 weeks later and played great. Interesting looking Lions team this year. So I just said, I'm just so glad the Lions finally won. And he says, yeah, they managed not to go 0-2. They have a chance.
Mm.
And he goes, I really like what Campbell is doing up there. Did you watch Hard Knocks? So he's asking me this. I said, yeah, their odds go up massively being 1-1 versus 0-2. And I said, look, I had no interest in the Lions until I watched Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Now I'm really pulling for them with my one butt cheek and three fingers.
Right. The old Dan Campbell reference.
Said, laugh out loud. My son laughed.
Oh, he LOL'd?
Yeah. Well, I LOL'd.
I want to get more of you reading text message conversations back and forth. Can we get two or three?
I LOL'd and he ha-ha'd. And he thought that was funny.
Can we?
Did you get that from the? You know.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Anyways. LOL versus a haha. Very different energy level on those two.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. Suey. Funnier than that. That's the most annoying thing.
The suey.
Yes.
That's yours.
Suey.
That's your voice.
I know
voice.
Who it is.
It's amazing.
I don't want to hear my voice.
I do. I want to hear you squeal like a pig.
Sweet.
Doesn't get old for me. All right, hey, Scott, guess what? There wasn't just the one game with so Utah State, of course, was off. So we just had BYU and Utah to be able to watch this weekend. And, of course, the Oregon-BYU game. So I'm in here doing post pre- and post-game with Jay Katz on Saturday for the BYU games. We had and so much anticipated, right? We did 2 hours of pregame walking into this thing on Saturday. We're excited because it's as good. And we're watching every game before it on all of the networks they're watching. Okay, yeah, sure.
You didn't think that was funny, did you? I thought it was funny. You didn't even laugh. I was like,
you read the words LOL.
I wanted to lighten up your
laugh.
Day.
I can't laugh. I can't laugh when you go.
Lighten up your day.
Hey, he said. So he said LOL, and I said ha ha. And no. So am I supposed to go ha?
No, I said LOL. He said ha ha. I'm trying to lighten your day up here.
I'm fine. I'm not like grumpy at all.
I'm fine. I'm just fine. Look, when anyone ever says I'm fine, they're not fine.
Okay,
you're not fine.
I'm doing it to get you off my back. I want the fewer Scott Mitchell jokes today.
It's not a joke.
Well, then what was funny about it again?
Well, it was real life. Real life.
So I'll just give you a tip because out of the two of us, who's done stand up and sketch comedy before? let me just tell you, when you have to say you had to be there, it's not funny either. Guess you had to be there. So that I guess you had to be there. Well, I mean, between me and my son, we thought it was funny. Okay, right. Had to be there. Beep.
All right, Mr. George Carlin, say something funny.
I'm not, don't you dare, because that's not the thing that people do.
Say something funny.
Play Scott's pig voice again.
Sweet.
There you go. That makes me laugh.
Eminem.
See? Also. All right. What was I even talking about before you so rudely interrupted
Something me? About the football game in Oregon.
I was saying was we do all this build-up to the BYU-Oregon game.
Okay.
And every game that was going on to that point of the day, the networks must have just been crap in their pants because every game was a blowout.
Yeah.
And so the 1:30 kickoff comes around. Here we go. Now, BYU and Oregon is going to be a close game.
Going to be a great game.
38-7 later, we're all looking at each other going, so do we have to do post-game? Or like, it's not that fun to get through a game like that because you're just waiting for everything to tick, for the time to tick off. You're writing down stuff you want to say. You're writing down impressions of how bad things were at that moment. And there were a lot of things that stood out in that game to me. And in the end, I just went, you know what this was? They didn't learn anything at Baylor last year. This was their Baylor game for this year. They had everything going for them walking into that game, although in Baylor's case, they had lost the week before already to Boise State, so they'd already been punched in the gut. They get another punch in the gut by going to Baylor last year, but it was the one game, Scott, that they, at least the Boise State game, they made so many mistakes, they fumbled the game away, literally, and they could still say, you know what, though? We should have won that game because we were a better team than that Boise State team. Fine. Baylor was another situation where you went, we got outclassed. Oregon, everybody, including anyone who talked about it on this radio station, mostly was just kind of putting Oregon down and going, look what they did against Georgia.
I didn't put Oregon down.
And what did they say? Yeah, they got athletes. And all I could say was there's no way the run game is going to be as deficient as it was against Baylor. I don't know why I would have thought that. On Hanson Scotty today with Houston Himuli, he straight up said, yeah, when teams watch a bunch of film on us, they scheme us pretty well. And I'm going, well, that's bad news. Don't you think Wyoming, who freaking shut down the best run game in the entire country last week to beat Air Force, is not going to be doing the math on this thing and going, we can own these cats. It was an embarrassing performance on the ground. Everybody after the game starts calling into the postgame show and saying, what's up with Chris Brooks? What's up with the run game? What's up with the Elisa Tuiaki's defense? Everything went out the window from the Baylor game.
All right. I can't explain this other than it's a real thing. Okay. I don't know why it's a real thing, but it's a real thing. Just so you know, it really is a real thing. And here's what it is. There's something depleting where you have an emotional loss or win. Or it doesn't even matter if it's win or loss.
Right.
And it just takes energy
out of
you.
It's a hangover of some sort.
It just is. And so what happens is when you travel and your time shortened because you travel, You have a late night. You get shorter time to actually recover. Your body has a shorter time of actually recovering. Your late night, earlier kickoff, along with travel. Yes, it's only to Oregon, but it's still you have to get on a bus. You have to get off a bus. You have to get on an airplane. There's just a lot of extra things you do. And it's like, okay, fine, you're a highly tuned athlete. It shouldn't be a big deal. But it does take away your energy. And to me, if the game has to, you have to find a way and know this and recognize this and create false energy early. You have to, I remember, we said this last week.
Why does it have to be false energy? Because you are fighting through
because
that
Because you're
hangover?
Fighting through it, and you just have to find a way to just go, I can tell you so many games, you're in warm-ups, and you go, man, it's just flat today. I don't know what it is. It's just flat. And so you realize you don't have your A game and you're on your B game, and you've got to figure out, you know, how to create a different alphabet soup to play. And it's a real thing. And that's when having a Puka Nacua, having your best players, having a lot of veteran players really is – that's when those players step up and say, guys, we got to pick it up. We got to – because it felt like to me BYU was tentatively going into that game and just kind of, we're going to just kind of see how things go. And if it goes well, fine. But if it doesn't, we're going to accept it. And it just felt like BYU accepted what was happening to it instead of trying to do something about it. I was excited. The first play of the game, I'm like, Jaren Hall firing a dart out there down the field. Great throw. But you know the reality of that throw? It should have been over the top, and it probably would have been a touchdown.
Oh, instead of the end of throw, come
but,
back.
You know,
to it.
It's like whatever. It's fine. But there just wasn't that energy. There wasn't that like we've got to convert these third downs. We've got to get off the field here on third down. We've got to. You just didn't feel that energy, and you have to have it, and you have to match a good team or a team that's playing well. Especially at their home stadium, you've got to get the crowd, you've got to get their enthusiasm out of the building, so you can have at least a fair fight, and that you just didn't see it, and it just wasn't there with the team, and I can't blame it on anyone, I don't even, because if you ask the players, they go, no, we were there, we were ready, but you just look, there just wasn't this enthusiasm, this just. Just a tenacious fight in this team against Oregon on Saturday.
I wonder if they're – like, I mean, this is something we talked about during the game, the inability to be able to stop Oregon. They were gashing BYU on all these plays. So the run game that Oregon put together and then the pass game that Bo Nix is able to put together, and this was definitely good Bo Nix showing up for this one. I had a friend who texted me and said, hey – no one in your post game, meaning all the callers that called in, they just like to talk about how bad BYU was doing and how the reason they lost was because of these things that BYU did. But Oregon is a freaking good football team still. By the way, is it a shock that Oregon is able to put together with all the talent that they have a really nice game at home? And by the way, a must win for them. Like Scott, this was a have to have Oregon game for Oregon.
Yes,
have to have this game for Oregon. And so. That you show up and they're the ones who have they have more on the line suddenly. You have to create, like you said, that false energy, right?
Yeah.
You've got to create that this game is as big for you as it is for them. Now, it should have been because in BYU's world, the word special season kept coming up. I'm glad that this happens from time to time because the word special season, we overuse it. We overdo it. And the very first thing that came out of my mouth during postgame was, hey, BYU fan, count your freaking blessings that independence is no longer after this season. Because this is the feeling independence brings. A loss in game three, and you go, this year sucks. This year's over. Going to a bad bowl game, I guess. The immediate reaction.
Yeah, and it's a valid point and a real one, and it's a great point.
Be excited that next year you can take an out-of-conference loss and go, no matter.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what the human nature of things is. It's not that BYU is a bad team and Oregon's just dominatingly better. It's just that for whatever reason, when it counted during the, you know, you know, on the field during game day, one team showed up and one team didn't. And
right.
There's a real thing to figure out how to get yourself to show up and compete. And not just kind of go through the motions of the game and accept what is actually happening.
Yeah. No, I look at it and I wonder if there's going to be a moment for this BYU team where they can say, hey, you know what? We can now kind of get that out of our system. Because in another point that somebody made when we were doing our postgame show, which I thought was really good too, and we did this, we had to do it last year. Hello, if you would have said BYU is going to go 2-1 after three games when you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, that means you beat either Oregon or Baylor.
Right.
And you would have beyond taken it. Now, last year, they were spoiled because the front end of the schedule was tough, and they went 5-0. Remember, BYU was 5-0. Before they lost two in a row. And they go 5-0, and everybody goes, after they lost those two games, they go, well, sky's falling. We suck, right? We're going to some garbage bowl game. That's the way that fans react. You can't have just in the middle, and you can't have rational thought. But people go, hey, man, if you would have said after seven games BYU is going to be 5-2, people would have said you were nuts. And that's the way you have to look at it this year.
Come on, man. But, you know, going back to last year, and you don't want to compare year to year, but – they hit all of those teams that they played, the Pac-12 teams they played. They hit them all at the absolute perfect time they could have.
Right.
Utah was not what it ended up being at the end of the year. Washington State had their coach get, you know, fired like Herm Edwards. The, you know, Arizona State fumbled its way to losing, and they're a dumpster fire. Arizona was garbage a year ago. I mean, you know, USC was awful. So it's not a real, you know, well, we just beat all these Pac-12 schools. So you beat a lot of bad schools in the Pac-12.
I was totally on Kalani's side at the end of the week where I was like, I do not want to hear about the 5-0 versus the Pac-12 from the year before because it makes no difference on this game against Oregon. All right.
It doesn't.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We have our weekend Warriors around the corner. Don't want to miss any of those. Plenty to go still on our Monday edition. Did you just you throwing your stuff around there, bro?
Well, I'm done talking. It's your turn. You talk. I take a break.
We're going to go. We'll take a break right now. Stay right here with us. Stop playing tobacco's game. Control your future. Free nicotine patches and gum at waytoquit.org. We will come back. We'll break down a little bit more of the weekend and bring you your weekend Warriors. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on The KSL Sports Zone. The Aggies look to right the ship as they welcome UNLV to Logan for a Mountain West Conference showdown. Your home for all the play-by-play action is right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Discussing in the break, I have two daughters, so I don't really look forward to the day that what Scott's going to be going through in the next week here. With your daughter getting married. It's great.
It's fun.
I know. And I know you're going to, this version of Scott, the on the air, no, it's great. No. It's awesome. See, you got to take a little piece of your own medicine there.
I'm fine.
I said I'm fine. If you have to go up 10 octaves on your voice, no, it's really cool being able to get ready for this thing.
No, like, LOL. Get it? That was funny.
Jeez. So, I don't get really that excited for other people. Like to pay for weddings.
Yeah.
But I'm a long way off still, right? My daughters are both very, very young.
You hope. You're a long way off.
So, but that's the thing is that I see you going through all this and I see all the money that goes toward it and I just think, man, weddings are a massive ripoff. Like they're getting you. You have no choice. You take it in the shorts, man. You absolutely get taken advantage of. Everybody gets taken advantage of. And then in turn, the bride and the groom take advantage of the people who are giving them gifts and registering. I mean, you'll register for the weirdest stuff because you're like, well, I'm owed this. I'm getting married. My heavens. It's a whole ripoff. The whole thing's a ripoff. And, you know.
I don't mind doing it. I don't. I've had a blast doing what I've done to prepare for my daughter's wedding. I've done a lot of it myself. It hasn't been necessarily cheap. It's not the
It's not supposed to be. Like no. I said, they're there to rip you off.
Well, I'm ripping myself off.
I know,
basically.
Because Scott isn't very good about it.
No one's sitting there going, okay, well, we have this option here.
Right. Or, no, it's none of that. No, it's you're taking control.
It's me just, I'm just creating all of what I've done. But
so,
it's not cheap.
Scott gets an honorable mention. I bet next weekend you're going to be a weekend warrior. I'm just telling you right now,
you're
making my weekend warrior list for next week.
Well, just so you know, I may not come back next. I may not survive
not
this
make
weekend.
It. Might not make Ooh. It. Good for you. Okay. Here's what we have here with our weekend warriors, brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. Now, anybody can be a day trader. Visit TryDayTrading.com. So, one of my favorite moments from the weekend was watching that App State Hail Mary and versus Troy. Here's what it sounded like.
Sets, throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggle.
Okay, they gave up on the Mountaineers, by the way. Like, they're
over-modulated the radios. I mean, geez.
Yeah, I know. Their producers in there are just killing these guys, going, hey, man, you're ruining this. When they're screaming, my kid listened to this audio like four times, and by like the second time, I said, don't play that again. I can't listen to these guys. I mean, it was just pandemonium. It's awesome that you did it. My favorite part was, and we can't play because there's too many cuss words, they showed a stream, they showed a Twitter video of this Troy sorority house, okay, and they're all in these awesome cocktail dresses, right. And they're all there, and this girl's filming it like selfie version of it, like look at us celebrating the win,
we're
basically
win the game,
and they all start screaming because the ball is way short,
yes,
right, it's a good 10-12 yards short of the end zone, maybe 6-7 yards short of the end zone. Either way, you see the ball and it's short of the end zone, and you're going, oh, got it. And then it ends up going in, and they're screaming in elation, and then immediately goes, ew, dead
just
silent.
Dead silent.
And these girls staring at each other and just cussing at one another and going, I can't believe this has happened. And anyway, bottom line is, that was my favorite part of that one.
Well, what the sad part about that is, that's what you're taught to do, is tip the ball down, like bat it down. So the guy was batting it down and batted it right in the guy's hand.
I love anytime that this can happen, anytime this happens in a game like this, as we're watching a Buffalo fan who's holding up his burger and his bun, the fake Elvis impersonators are squirting mustard and ketchup on it. This is punishment for this guy.
This is awesome.
This is terrible.
He's loving every minute.
He does
of this.
Love it. Yeah, yeah.
Like just
oh, yeah. The mustard hadn't even happened
just
yet.
Douse me.
And there you go. All right. Next up, Scott, Devin Lloyd. His very first NFL interception the week after had his very first NFL sack. Take a listen.
We're on the way to losing this one to the Jags. Not the start anyone would have expected.
That ball's deflected, and it's intercepted by the Jaguars. Devin Lloyd, the rookie from Utah, was in the right place at the right time. Last week, he had the most tackles of any rookie in the National Football League since 2019. Devin Bush did it. And today, he's got his first NFL interception.
Not a bad start for the kid. I mean, that's on your way to first team all rookie defensive team for Devin Lloyd.
Well,
I mean,
he certainly made a splash his first couple of games.
It's nice that they won too. I mean, honestly, yeah. they shut out Indy. I mean, that's you can't ask for much more if you're Devin Lloyd. You go to this team that everybody's going, hey, get ready to lose, and they've already come out of the gates pretty strong here. Now, Scott, 1-1. Look at that. Yeah. 1-1. Good for them. Let's take a break. We'll come back around the corner. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to join us. Walk down the weekend here for us, locals in the NFL, one of my favorite things we do on a Monday. Plus, do you snore at night? Are you currently using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? SoundSleep Medical can improve your life. Visit SoundSleepMedical.com for more information. We'll come back around the corner. JJ's going to break down the weekend that was in the NFL, in college, all of it. Stay with us right here at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We rise.
with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell. Hey, our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars. These are amazing protein bars. They taste fantastic. Local company. Quick and tasty, and twist and quakey.
But they're
good. Had two earthquakes today, by the way.
Where? Here?
St. George just had a 4.4 today.
What?
Yeah, man. This is all real. Let's get JJ turned up over here. Jeremiah Jensen joining us on the program. JJ, did you have a weekend? Did you guys do anything over the weekend? I love football season, right?
It was a little busy this weekend, yes. But, man, was it fun. A lot of stuff to...
A historic weekend.
It was in the NFL. Yes.
Well, we were just watching.
How fun was Sunday?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where you take that Sunday nap and you wake up and go, what the heck just happened? that's exactly what happened to me.
An earthquake.
That's what Ravens fans are doing right now.
No, I was. Listen, I'm.
And Raiders fans.
I was watching the Raiders Cardinals game and I start going, because my brother in law has the NFL ticket and I was like, hey, man, watch this game. It was 20-0. I went, awesome. Good for them. You know what? The Raiders are going to figure things out. And I woke up, and the Raiders are doing Raiders things. I wake up, and Tua Tagovailoa throws for 6 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill catches 200 yards passing. And it was the first time a team came back from 21 down in the fourth quarter in the last 712 NFL games.
So that, it was rare what we saw.
It was rare what we saw. And then you threw on top of that.
Yeah.
Another little tasty tidbit.
Yeah, here's this stat. It's yesterday was the first time in NFL history that there were two games where a team was down 20 plus points at halftime, and those two teams came back to win.
It's
never happened in NFL history.
Like all of history.
Go back. When did the league start?
Before they started.
19 odd sacks, something. Yes.
All of that. All the way back.
They've been recording. Since the league was established. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. It really is insane.
Pre-league, post-queen.
Think about it, you just...
Yeah. So that's what I think about things. Pre-NFL, post-Queen Elizabeth.
Post-Queen.
Macy rest.
It's a good point.
Scott and I spent way too much time today watching
watching her get buried.
It's 1 minute was too much.
But isn't it so fascinating, though? I mean, just...
No.
Okay.
We clicked on it.
Never mind. We'll go on to something else.
I said, let's look at this. And it was a 9-hour YouTube video. I go, well, let's just go ahead and not watch
get
the
to
full
the end.
9 hours.
Yeah. Get to the end.
Got to have something better to do, right?
So, there you go. JJ, it was a huge weekend. That's where we're going to start things off, as we always do. With the cut, we'll do NFL. We'll do college. Let's do all of it here with JJ. Let's jump into the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, they get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Let me see here. Oh, uofuhealth.org is the website. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go locals in the NFL first.
Okay.
We just played last hour Devin Lloyd's interception. They get a shutout in his second week of being with the Jaguars. I don't think it's a – I just say, look, you got Devin Lloyd, and then you got a shutout week two. And he's already performing – he had the most tackles by a rookie in the NFL since 2019 in week one. And he's been really, really good so far. So aside from Devin Lloyd's performance, what else do we see across the league here from the locals?
Well, I mean, we mentioned the Ravens debacle yesterday and their failure to finish that game off, but – in the midst of that is a Marcus Williams is just playing out of his mind. Two more interceptions yesterday.
Right.
You're looking at, you know, among the free agent signings in the NFL, he's looking like one of the best. And the Ravens are getting their money's worth out of Marcus Williams. He's got 3 interceptions after 2 weeks. Right now, he's, you know, it's early in the season, but he's looking like making his first Pro Bowl. I think he's been outstanding. So I would start with Marcus Williams. Another guy that I'm really impressed with is Cody Barton. Now, Cody was in a tough situation this year because we all know the Seahawks are in a bit of a transition.
You're trying to take over for one of the best that's ever been in the game, by the way.
Another local player, Bobby Wagner, who also has been great with the Rams, by the way.
Not just a Seahawk, not just an all-time great Seahawk. He's one of the great linebackers of all time.
I agree with that.
He is amazing.
I think Bobby Wagner is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
For sure.
And so Cody Barton has this pressure of stepping in and replacing one of the best in, you know, we just mentioned how great Bobby Wagner is. I think you could argue he's the best linebacker in Seattle Seahawks history. So that's big shoes to fill. And so far after two games, he's filled them pretty nicely. I know they didn't get the win yesterday.
I'll forgive you. Did you forget about Boz?
Look, everybody forgot about Boz after Bo Jackson trucked him on Monday Night Football.
Boz hopes you forget about Boz.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Dr. Pepper
commercials? He's great in the Dr. Pepper commercials. I think he's, you know, he's a great actor.
That's all that matters.
Not a great NFL football player.
Well, he was acting as a football player, so he did a great
Brilliant.
Job.
My heaven.
So Alex brought some. Is there are there others or? Is
oh
that...
gosh, I could keep going down the list.
Julian
I think there's
Blackman
a lot of guys.
Julian,
the Colts have issues, but Julian's back after the Achilles injury. Taysom didn't have as big a role yesterday. In fact, I think he should have had more of a role. To be honest with you, after
he did
how well
get ejected
he did.
Though, right?
He did not get kicked out of that game. Although some guys
Everybody
did.
Else did.
You know, just going down the list of guys. Really, those are guys that have stood out so far this season.
How about Garrett Bowles?
Yeah, I mean he's the there. Broncos stink. don't get me started on the Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett might be the worst hire in Broncos history, and that's saying
ouch.
A lot.
Why do you think that is? Just not prepared to be a head coach?
I think hiring a quarterback coach with no previous head coaching experience is just such a stretch. I don't know why. I feel like there were better candidates. I mean, why didn't you? I mean, Nathaniel Hackett didn't even call plays in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go give Eric Bieniemy a chance, a guy who played at the University of Colorado, who has a history of calling plays now in the league and has respect in the league?
Too smart of a deal.
Dan Quinn was available, who had success with the Falcons.
Could you do that, though, if you're the Broncos? Could you really hire someone from the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean that in all seriousness.
Well, I mean, the ego got in the way of them not hiring Kyle Shanahan a few years ago because Joe Ellis still had a beef with Mike Shanahan. Which is just ridiculous because Kyle Shanahan would have been
a home run hire in the NFL.
For the Broncos 3 years ago. Instead, they hired somebody who also, again, had no previous head coaching experience and didn't. The Broncos have made some mistakes. Let me just say that. I could go on. I don't want to spend the entire show.
Was Russell Wilson a mistake?
He might end up being one.
I mean, because you're seeing a lot of these old guys. I mean,
was Seattle
Matt
so
Ryan
easily
tough,
willing to let their best, one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history go? I'm starting to question it now.
That's a conspiracy theory right there.
It might be.
Let's move on from the NFL to the college football games that happened over the weekend here locally. Of course, Utah State off, but Utah gets a win against San Diego State. It was impressive in the sense that it, from top to bottom on the defensive side of things, it looked like that Kyle Whittingham defense was the Kyle Whittingham attitude of a defense that you are normally used to seeing. And you feel like now that there's enough of a chip on their shoulder for the rest of the year that the Utes but again, the slow starts, not just on the season, but Scott was talking about this, how total they'd scored 10 points all the way through the first quarters of the entire year, and then they scored like 140 or whatever it is in the second quarter overall so far.
Second and third quarters.
Slow starts in these games, it's just there's a weird thing. I don't know how it works.
I am going to be overly critical of this Utah team because I believe they are good enough to be great. So I think Utah fans might hear me what I'm about to say and think, man, lay off, man. Like they're 2-1. Like I feel like this team is one of the best teams in the country, talent wise, and I feel like this team should win the Pac-12 and should go win a Rose Bowl this year. I think they're that good. They have enough talent. They got NFL talent on their team all over the place. So I'm going to be overly critical. Their slow starts is mind-boggling. I think that. You know, and it's hard to be tough on Cam because he had a record 4 touchdown passes against San Diego State, right? That's pretty good.
He was bad early.
But
really
let's
bad.
Be honest. What was going on in the first quarter? I think we expect, and I think it's fair to ask more of Cam because he showed what he can do when he's dialed in. But what's up with the slow starts and why was he, you know, Scott, you might be more qualified to answer that question than me.
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
And I'm not defending anything because San Diego State runs a defense that Utah doesn't see very often, right? It's at 3-3-5, whatever. And they have guys coming from all different, you know, directions. And so you know it intellectually, like your game plan, you practice against it. But when you don't see it a lot in game situations, you're just not quite sure.
Okay.
You know, and you play – because there's a trust factor because – you'll be a guy where you won't have anyone over you, but you know someone's coming to you, And so you have to so it's hard to be aggressive sometimes when you're not really seeing the guy per se that you're supposed to get. And so you could kind of see there was just a little – they were a little disjointed a little bit. But what Cam wasn't comfortable. Like, he was not comfortable in the pocket early. And there was – you know, it's one of those things where a couple of times a guy gets through and then you kind of leave early because you think that that guy might be coming through again. Yeah. And that's what that defense is built on, is we want to create where we get penetration in the backfield and disrupt – pass plays and run plays, and that it's all predicated on that philosophy. And early, I thought Utah up front was actually handy. One of the things I've been most impressed with this year is the offensive line has played consistent all three games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been
But
Cam was just he was off, and you could just see that he was nervous in the pocket, and I really believe he just wasn't comfortable. Because all of a sudden it just clicked in, and once it clicked in, he was just lights out.
Yeah,
and
second, third, fourth quarters, yeah. Exactly what you'd expect from Cam.
So I wonder if it's like, okay, let's just kind of feel this out early, and there's this not decisive or definitive attacking go after people early on in the games, and they're going to need to be that way and have that mindset as they get into conference play. They've got to start a lot faster than they have been.
The slow start killed them against Florida. I think a slow start against a team like Oregon State,
right,
UCLA, USC could be a problem for them, right? So,
well, because then you're fighting just to catch up.
You're digging out of a hole, and
it's like BYU last week. They were just fighting to get out of the hole the whole game.
Well, let's go there then. So the Oregon game, BYU comes out flat, and it was the first six drives in a row by Oregon ended up in five touchdowns and a field goal. And BYU, the thing that really stalled, I think, everything were these fourth down conversions, where they were 3-for-3 on the season going into that game. They get themselves in a weird spot because the first two that they got, there was you're kind of wondering, should they have gone for that, especially considering the handing off to Chris Brooks ended up not being something that worked at all day, across the board. Going for those two first half, fourth down conversions were just gut punches. I feel like there are turnovers where a guy will get a pick or something like that. A turnover on downs is almost more demoralizing because you have some momentum, or at least some semblance of momentum, or you think to yourself, we've got to draw a line in the sand, and then somebody else just takes it and just wipes it all out from you.
Yeah, I think for BYU, I was surprised that they didn't win the line of scrimmage battle against Oregon, which was really concerning to me. Coming off a week of where, you know, it wasn't perfect against Baylor, especially on the offensive side. I felt like the offensive line was not very good against Baylor, but they were good enough. They really got exposed in this game. Now, look, let's be honest. BYU's defense was missing two defensive line starters. That was devastating, especially missing Tyler Batty, one of the team leaders on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they got gashed in the run game. And Oregon didn't do anything dynamic offensively. They were just they beat them with a base offense and just did their thing. And it was really concerning that BYU couldn't make tackles in the open field. They couldn't get the stops that they needed. And then on offense, the offensive line, which we came in hyping all season long, just didn't get it done against Oregon. It was an execution issue in my mind. So it was really concerning on both sides of the ball. The lack of execution, missed tackles, stuff that's really basic that BYU should be able to do. And it just felt like this team had a hangover after a Baylor game. And again, it feels like every independent schedule, they have this big Power 5 win they get, and then all of a sudden they get a couple injuries, and all of a sudden they lose momentum. You know, that's really concerning. It feels like the same pattern that we've seen from this team for the last decade.
So Alex brought this up in one of our earlier segments, and it was quite a powerful statement. And I'm curious how you feel about this. Is in an independent schedule like you're talking about, BYU has this loss, and does it feel like it kind of relegates them to some early season bowl game, and it's just does it take all the excitement out of what to look forward to the end of the season?
This is why no one's going to miss Independence.
Right.
It's always been the problem, and we've had several seasons since they went independent in the last decade where the hype builds, they get off to a great start, they win those Power 5 games. Remember the year they beat Wisconsin, the year they beat Tennessee and USC, I mean, they're all this hype, and then they get crushed by Washington, and then all of a sudden, who cares now? That I hate that that's been the case for this team because they deserve better.
Yeah.
But that's just the reality of it. And now, how does this team respond after losing this Oregon game? Which, you're right, the reality is it may have taken them out of consideration for a New Year's Day bowl game. It's just how this works. There's so many good teams in Power 5 that it's tough to get one of those bids. So what's this team's motivation moving forward? Do the injuries continue to stack up? Can they get healthy? Can they get Puka and Gunner back? When is that going to happen? Can they get healthy defensively? Because as the injuries pile up, again, this problem occurs. We see the twos and threes just can't match up against some of these Power 5 teams they play. They still got Notre Dame and Arkansas coming up. Those are going to be tough games.
Jeremiah Jensen joining us here on Unrivaled as we break down some of the weekend here. So now you move on to a couple of different things. BYU now hosts Wyoming, who stopped the most potent running offense in the entire country this last weekend and beat Air Force.
Sure, it was a nice win.
Sure, it was in Laramie, but they schemed and they figured it out. And a team who the previous 2 weeks had averaged 550 yards on the ground, averaged in those first two games, then were shut down and ended up – I mean, they have to – I think when I was listening to Houston today, and we're going to talk with Jaron in our Players Club tomorrow, and I'm interested to see what he sees in that defense, because they had film. They're watching film immediately after the game on Wyoming, because, one, it's the best way to move on from that Oregon loss, because the last thing you want to do is keep watching that film. But you've got to figure out this team that, one, just wants to beat the heck out of BYU. They see a vulnerability that they go, hey, we can come into your place and embarrass you on a one-off game. We don't know when the next time we're going to play BYU is going to be. And this Wyoming team must be a little bit scary for BYU, because they kind of don't know. They sort of probably just reset themselves this weekend and go, we thought we knew who we were, and now we're questioning all those things.
BYU has to be ready to go on Saturday. Craig Bohl is a great coach. He does more with less than just about any coach in FBS.
Yeah.
Think about all the transfers that program lost last year, and here they are being competitive again. That Air Force win was huge. Air Force was picked to finish second in the Mountain Division of the Mountain West Conference. So there's a lot of hype behind Air Force, and they were able to get it done. And for BYU, I look at this game, and I think BYU is going to be a humble group because of this loss to Oregon. I think they're going to be angry and frustrated. We'll see if some of these guys that were hurt get back. But I think that this is a good opportunity for BYU to get back on track at home against a team that I think is going to present some challenges. But talent-wise, BYU is far superior. And so if BYU has the right mindset and they get healthier going to this matchup, they should have no trouble with Wyoming.
What do you make of the mess that's at Arizona State and the firing of Herm Edwards?
It's overdue. I think they should have made that decision previous to the season even starting.
We thought it was going to be previous to last season.
I think they should have done it then, too. Once the allegations about the recruiting violations came about.
When they started firing a bunch of his assistants, and you go,
Yeah. What are you doing? Why are you hanging on to this? This obviously isn't working. And I think that Arizona State held on because of pride. Because I think that the athletic director had a lot of personal vested interest in this working. And I think the athletic director is now going to be looked at with scrutiny.
Yeah.
Like, why did you allow this to go on for 5 years? It just wasn't working. And you knew who had to have known that things weren't being done properly within the program. So Arizona State is now suffering because they waited too long to make this decision. And you know how it is. You know, maybe it lasts a week or whatever, but when a coach is fired or something like that, the team can go one of either two directions, right? They're either going to rally around the situation and go out and play for each other, or they're just going to give up. I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. It's kind of a weird situation for Utah because they can't worry about any of that. They just got to be focused on getting better. They have their own challenges. They need and own things they need to improve on and get better at. I expect them to go down there and steamroll, and I think they should steamroll this team. I think that Arizona State's a team that if they give them the business in the first quarter, they'll lie down and quit.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 television. You can, of course, see him on our KSL Sports Live on TV. He and Sam Farnsworth hosting that thing and do a great job. What's going on tonight? We got two Monday Night Football games that are taking our attention, right?
We are spoiled tonight. This NFL weekend has been awesome, and it just won't quit. So two great games tonight. How fun are the Buffalo Bills? I love watching that team. Josh Allen's great, speaking of the Wyoming Cowboys. So I look forward to that. We'll also hear from Kalani and Kyle today as they get ready for some games this weekend. So.
All right. Looking forward to it.
So are you secretly pulling for the Detroit Lions?
Absolutely. Okay. I always pull for the underdog.
All right.
I think they played really well yesterday.
Yeah.
If your mantra is I always pull for the underdogs, then you are the biggest Detroit Lions fan on the planet. That's kind of the way.
The permanent underdogs.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if I don't know. Did we see that? Is Britton Covey going to be returning punts again today?
Still on the active 53, right? So I think he's got that role, and I think he did pretty well last week.
Monday night is his game to break out.
That would be pretty fun. Look out for Britton tonight.
It will be cool. You know, it was funny because the Eagles are so – the Eagles fans are so gun-shy about – punt returns because they have just muffed. They've muffed like four punts in the last season. They muffed four or five punts. They have like 11 over the last like four seasons, and so
they have some PTSD.
They're all nervous about what's going on. So when he got put, he had one of his own guys pushed into him, and everybody's like, he's not going to catch this thing, and he just caught it without even thinking about it. It was pretty amazing.
Brin's a ball magnet.
We'll chat with you again, JJ. Thanks for hanging out here. Hey, join us tomorrow. By the way, we're going to be at Dish Pro. At the Dish Pros in I think it's in Midvale, right? That's where technically the location is. So, yeah, we're going to be at the Dish Pros in Midvale. We're going to have the RV from General RV there as part of the Unrivaled Tour, which means you can enter to win BYU tickets as well while we're there. And we've got all sorts of things going on. So come see us tomorrow at Dish Pros there in Midvale, and you'll be able to take a tour of Scott's RV as well. So come down, hang out with us. That's where we'll be tomorrow. From 3 to 6 right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. More to go right here. Stay with us.
This is the Cougars at 30 update, presented by Zions Bank on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, your Cougars at 30 update right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Kalani Sitake says he's going to know more about this team, about how they respond against Wyoming this week in Provo.
Find out a lot about our team in the next week because it's just time to, you know, to basically play like we can play and be consistent. Just not really happy with the result, but more than anything, there's just a lapse in some of the mistakes that we made. That's uncharacteristic of our team. We made a lot of mistakes, but I don't want to take anything away from Oregon.
Cougars at 30 update brought to you by Zions Bank. As always, big-time banking with a home team feel that you can count on at Zions Bank. Zions Bank is for you. More to go around the corner. We've got some Pac-12 look here. The conference has had a big weekend. In a year, they need big weekends. Stay with us. Unrival continues.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Cougars return to Provo for a battle against Wyoming this Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Keep it locked on the zone for the best coverage of Cougar football. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled. Thanks for joining us on your Monday here. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
You know who's kind of surprising?
Oh, yeah. No, I got it. Kirk Cousins, you just love what he is, right?
No.
Oh.
But it's kind of in the same vein. Is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts could not throw the football at Alabama.
You wrote him off totally.
He couldn't throw the football at Alabama.
So when they made him the starting quarterback at Philadelphia.
Nick Saban goes, we need two in here who he can throw, and he can't even throw it.
Right, right.
And Jalen Hurts was drafted to be – he was drafted to be Taysom Hill. Like, they drafted the guy to go – you know, because they had Carson Wentz, and they were like, yeah, let's get this, you know, Swiss Army knife dude in here. And they admitted it. They go, you know, we thought that was an intriguing option, and now –
oof.
He's kind of figured some things out.
I like oof.
But Kirk Cousins is, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't a Swiss Army knife guy. He's just a quarterback. I like when guys like Kirk Cousins kind of upset the apple cart, right?
Where
everyone I love when the arrogance of the NFL is put to shame. That's what I really love. it's like it might be one of my favorite things in life when everyone goes, oh, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden someone just, you know, kind of in your face, so to speak. You know, a Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of guy was one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Broke the mold.
Yeah.
Didn't look like the guy who everybody thought is going to be good. So Jalen Hurts fits that. Fits that bill where you go, he's outperformed. So, he's outperformed everybody.
Everybody has a beard these days.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a beard.
I know. It's awesome. We got our beard oils today.
Oh.
I can't wait. It's all part. It's all part of a process, Scott. I didn't think I needed beard oil until I tried it for the first time.
I mean, Adam Thielen, doesn't he look like he looks like a coach?
I know he looks like he's
way old
wide receivers coach, Adam Thielen of the. They're showing him in the pregame here. It's wild. Let's jump in here, Scott, with a little bit of a discussion on the Pac-12. Before we do, though, Davis Vision, their fall LASIK sale is going on right now. If you haven't looked into it, you can save $1,000 right now at Davis Vision to get that LASIK done. They also offer routine eye exams, full-service optical center for prescription glasses, frames, contacts, etc. So DavisVisionMD.com is the website. USC dominates Fresno State. I thought people were all expecting a little bit closer of a deal. Now, the injury of their quarterback, it's a big deal, obviously. UCLA ekes past South Alabama, fine. Colorado might be the worst team that we've seen in Division I football, but let's get to the good stuff here. Notre Dame is garbage, as proven by them playing Cal.
Can we go to Colorado just for 1 second?
Oh, you want to spend more time on Carl Durrell's program?
Really
quick. Sure.
Oklahoma plays Nebraska. That used to be like a game. And I was just thinking about
that was the old Big Eight, wasn't it?
Wasn't it great? Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Colorado.
Colorado.
And I thought about it, and then I was like,
"It's an embarrassment now."
Wow, where have things changed?
These guys won a national championship.
It's really sad.
These guys won a national championship like way more recent than Notre Dame has, right? I mean, they went. I mean, not way more, but I mean, like they won a national title in 1990, and you win a national title within the last 30 or 40 years. Your program was something at some point, obviously. My neighbor growing up, one of my close friends, he was a middle linebacker during that era at Colorado, playing Nebraska every week, playing Texas, playing Oklahoma. You know, and it was just like there was some pride there. It's a bad deal. Colorado now is the laughingstock. What'd they lose this week? What was the score this weekend? It was a lot to a little. I mean, it was.
You're asking me to score.
It was Wazoo. They played Wazoo, right?
No.
Oh, no, it was Minnesota. That's
Minnesota.
Right. It was 49-0 at one point. And then I think it ended up being like 49-7. Either way, it was 49-0 when I tuned in. They got the 7? Thank heavens. I thought they were going to
be bad. But here's the reality, and mm-hmm. this is what's going on in the Pac-12 right now. They're all non-conference games.
Yeah, they really
Colorado can still win the Rose Bowl.
But here's what we've learned from it.
I know you laugh, but it's
you watch though.
it's a reality.
I love that stuff.
All right, non-conference doesn't matter.
Here's the good news for the conference. Probably the best news for the conference is that USC is good. Utah is probably really good still. Washington is overperforming and is good. Oregon is probably really good. I mean, you're talking about the top of the conference that you need to be good. You want USC to be good every year, and so they are this year. Washington, the conference is better when teams like Washington and Oregon and USC and Utah are good. Cal and Stanford, shame on you guys. Get your crap together. But my heavens, to be able to have a Washington and Oregon giant wins over the weekend, Washington beats a number 11 Michigan State team and doing it pretty handily before they started having kind of a comeback happen. But, man, I love it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Speaking of USC being mm-hmm. good, how much of USC being 7 in the polls, maybe 6, are they 6 now? 6 or 7?
6 or 7, yeah.
How much of that is their impending move to the Big Ten? And let's build them up more, you know, because clearly they're better, right? And clearly it's Caleb Williams, and you know they've got some guys, but they also haven't played anyone yet. So you really don't know how really, really good they are. I just wonder if they're overhyped because of...
You think they'd give them bonus points for just being... they'd give them bonus points just because they're going to go to the Big Ten?
Well, all of this is influenced by... I just think that there could be something to it. That's
this
all
is, what's interesting is that this is the kind of crap that we get wrong all the time in the media where we go, oh, SC, they're going to be good. But you and I were both like, yeah, right, they're not going to be good. They're not going to be good. We know they're not going to be that good. And then what happens? We go in there and we go, oh, shoot. Looks like USC might actually be good. And I know they didn't play any, they haven't played anybody yet. But at the same time, they're rolling right here.
Do you know why I was bored in the game yesterday?
Why?
Because it's like, can we just get this? Like, I really want to get
You wanted the Utah game.
I want to get into the conference.
Get
schedule.
Into decent conference
I do.
Play.
I do. You? And so. That way we can really figure out who's good and who isn't good, because it's awesome to see that Washington is back, and there's talk of the Pac-12 actually having, and it's not a team, it's like a group of teams. Now the sad part of that is having a group of teams means you know you're probably not going to go to the college football playoffs. If there's a lot of good teams, it's going to be hard to have a team that ends up going. It just is.
USC's number 7. In the AP poll. Actually, no, I think they went up to 6. Yeah, they did. So you look at it now and you go, this USC team, where are they really? The thing is that you knew they had talent. You knew that they had, and you knew they brought in more talent. And we still rolled our eyes and went, yeah, right, overrated. Overrated. Except for now, they're performing to the level that we kind of thought they were going to. Or I was afraid they were going to. But it's good for the conference. I'm telling you. And I'm usually not like a it's good for the conference kind of guy. I hate when people fly the Pac-12 flags, and I don't like the BYU's already going down the route of being
I don't
like,
think it's good for
Big 12.
I don't think it's good for the conference.
It is for the short term, except for, I will say this. But it's good for the conference contingent upon a team winning the conference who is not moving. If USC or UCLA, but mostly I'm talking about USC. If USC wins the Pac-12 championship either this year or next, or heaven forbid both, it's going to be an absolute kick to the stomach to the Pac-12, because as soon as that team who's leaving the Big 12, and then they just go, told you so, we didn't need to be here, but we've graduated from you guys. You want them to lose before they go to the Big 10, and then everybody just goes, the only reason you went to the Big 10 is because there's dollars attached to you, not because you're any good. That's what people want. I still want USC and UCLA not to win the conference title, but for the time being, it is good to bring attention out west, which is what this does. It brings attention out west to the conference that you need. It's going to bring attention out west for the wrong reason with the Big Ten when they're in the Big Ten. So say what you will, but USC is good. And I watched them this last weekend, and I went,
We think they're good. We don't know.
I watched, and I was just going,
because Fresno State lost their quarterback.
They did, and he's
legitimate. He's
the most important guy on their team by far.
I just don't think you know until you play, and that for me is like, I want to get into these games. I'm just telling you, I can't wait for Utah to play USC.
Caleb Williams,
wait for the excitement that will be there. That'll be really exciting.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. Reminding you, in about 15 minutes here, we're going to have our conversation with Devin Cafusi, part of our weekly Players Club here, brought to you by Zions Bank on the program. We will come back. We will have our little discussion around the court. Oh, I've got some Rocky Mountain Chevy dealer play of the weekend to give out as well. So, but we'll have some updates when it comes to where these conferences are, on who's playing where, in which years. Are Texas and Oklahoma going to bounce early? We'll talk about that next. Stay with us. Unrival continues.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Aggies look to right the ship as they welcome UNLV to Logan for a Mountain West Conference showdown. Your home for all the play-by-play action is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut,
hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The show is always brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. Plenty of protein. Scott, you know what I did this weekend?
No, I don't.
Ordered some off of the old Costco website.
Oh, look at you.
Because they have my peanut butter, coconut, chocolate on there.
Oh, that's a popular one. Peanut butter, coconut, chocolate is popular.
You can find them at Costco, or as my mom says, Costco's. You can get it at Costco's. All right. Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick. Am I missing anybody? Associated Foods? You get them at the Harmon's, yeah. So
7-Eleven.
And if you don't get them, yeah, select 7-Elevens. If you don't have them at your refrigerated part of your own supermarket, start bugging them about it. G2G Bars, local company. Give them some props. But they also taste fantastic. Here's what we're going to do, Scott.
They're good.
So Texas and Oklahoma are likely to remain in the Big 12 this year and next year at least. Okay, 2024 is going to be the earliest time they can go to the SEC, it looks like. Otherwise, they're going to have to pay huge penalties. 14 teams are going to be in the Big 12. The newcomers next year plus Texas and Oklahoma. Now, it's nice to be able to get them for that 1 year. It's fine. I just wondered, it just made me think over the weekend, what is college football going to look like in the next 10 years? What is this place going to look like? Are these games going to be, are we going to be interested? Here's something that needs to happen. You need to stop having crappy football games. If you're going to go to a top tier of college football, and everybody's talking about how the Big Ten and the SEC, the Big Ten and the SEC need to grow a pair, and say, we're going to play our conference schedule, and whatever a 12-team playoff looks like, maybe that means your regular season is shortened a little bit. You know what you don't need to do? I don't need to see how you do against Arkansas Pine Bluff. I don't need to see how you do against the Citadel. I don't think that Fordham is a team that you need to be playing this weekend. I'm so sick of these garbage FCS games. And I get it. And I know here locally, and that's not me saying that.
Do you really get it, though? I mean, you know why those games are played.
Yeah.
Why?
There's an economic situation for these.
No.
What? It's to get your players some.
Pad your schedule.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. So
there's no reason to pad a schedule with a 12-team playoff.
Right.
Just freaking play the games and win.
There may be a little.
Pad your schedule. Then what's the point? You get two wins against teams that don't matter.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think that you ask, where do you think college football will be in 10 years? Right where it is right now. That's where I think it'll be.
Which is
the people that are in power are still going to be in power. The SEC is still going to have, the SEC and the Big Ten generally are going to be the two conferences that compete for a team winning a national championship.
I'm interested to see where the money is going to take the game too. For the players' perspective, where the money's going to take them, where the TV money's going to take these conferences. And then on top of all that, like in my mind, I think the thing that will be the biggest change we're going to see is the college football playoff. I think they'll probably even expand it.
I don't think so.
Beyond 12, I think you can get to 16.
So here's where I think that expanding the college football playoffs is probably similar to padding your schedule. I'm just telling you, like there aren't more recruits now, just because they changed the structure of. There aren't more teams, still the same teams, but what they're saying is there's money in an expanded college football playoffs. So why don't we just take the? We're going to get some other teams. They're never going to win a championship, but we'll let them kind of be a part of this so we can get more money. Because the teams that win, and go and play for national championships where there's extra money, but it's also about creating conferences that have the most interest. They realize that if you want to win a national championship, if you want to be a good program, you have to go undefeated. And if you have a brutal schedule, the way it's designed today.
I know that. Okay.
But what I'm saying is down the road, they go, fine, we'll expand it, but it's not going to change anything. because we're still going to be better. We may lose a game during the season. We may lose two games during the season.
Then I'd prefer
it,
that.
It doesn't matter, but it's not. The same teams are going to win national championships. That's not going to change. It's not going to change because the money that they have will allow them to recruit in a way that they're still recruiting. They're still going to get the players. That's not going to change. And so they're still going to be the powerful teams. And, yeah, maybe in a blue moon, in a blue moon, someone might just show up and beat everyone. But I think, in general, college football is not going to change. Not going to change from where it is right now. It'll be fun. I mean, it'll be fun to watch. You're going to have better games. You're going to have more competition.
Does it seem like it's more this year? I don't know if the numbers really bear it out, but it just seems like there's more garbage games.
Right
like,
now?
Yes.
1,000%.
I'm watching. And here's the thing that's funny is UCLA goes, and we get to play that garbage game this weekend against South Alabama. And then they end up winning by a point, yeah. Right? But this happens. And I'm not saying, look, FCS teams, I think it was it North Dakota or was it South Dakota? Jeremy, which is the one that just snapped their FBS? Like Arizona just beat them, North Dakota State. Arizona beat them, and that was the first time that they had lost against an FBS team since 2009. That's how good South Dakota State is, or yeah. North Dakota State?
North Dakota.
North Dakota State? Either way, bottom line is there are obviously good programs out there. Jay Hill just beat the crud out of Utah State last week. And you know what? Great, good for them. College football, I don't want to have these weekends where I'm watching. It's been three now in a row. And then sprinkled throughout the year, you're going to see garbage games played by a lot of these teams.
That's why I was bored. Let's get into conference play. It's more exciting. There's something on the line.
I know. Let's play Colorado, man. Jeez. Let's get to something fun.
Last game of the year.
Is it there in Boulder, too?
Yep.
Have fun.
Day after Thanksgiving.
Have fun, Scott.
Actually, it might even be on Saturday.
That's not the Friday, right? It's a Saturday.
It might even be a Saturday.
Anyway, Jeremy's going to effort during the break here. All right. Still looking into it. We'll take the break here when we come back. Hey, you'll be able to hear from Devin Kaufusi, our Players Club, coming up right around the corner here. You want to hear how they did. Oh, let me give out those. Let's do it. Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend. If you heard it this morning on DJ and PK, be caller number 12 right now, 575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. 801-575-9663. Tell us what the play that they gave out today on DJ and PK was for their Play of the Weekend. I'm feeling generous too. Maybe I'll throw out a little bit of a thingy. What's it called? A little bit of a tip, a little
would
clue
you,
here.
Would
for
you like maybe just something really positive before we go to break?
Yeah, I thought giving something out was going to be positive.
Oh, here's another one you'll like.
Okay, let me hear it.
BYU is in the top of the standings for independent schools in the country.
I can't wait.
Tied with Liberty.
I can't wait for Phil Steele to come out with his all independent team, and they have a fourth team on there. Fourth team, all independent. If not everybody on the team makes one of the teams of Phil Steele's all independent team, then I'll be disappointed. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. Tell us what it is. The tip is, oh boy, this one has some religious background to it. This one has some religious implications. Not the ones you're thinking of. The positive ones. Stay with us. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is your chance to get college football insights straight from the source.
Go line, let's go!
This is the Players Club as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining unrivaled from the University of Utah, Devin Kaufusi. The Players Club is presented by Zions Bank.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is another edition of the Players Club right here. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Zions Bank. Appreciate their partnership, love, how much love they give these players, too, every year. Zions Bank, big city banking, home team feel that you can count on. Devin Kaufusi, another week with Devin and DK. You had a big game on Saturday, saw big number 90 in there a lot. Good to see number 90 and number 91 next to each other in that football game. That must be fun next to Gabe Reed, huh?
Yes. Well, it's funny. So Gabe, our first game, home game at SCU, Gabe's never lost at Rice-Eccles since high school. ever since he started playing.
That's pretty good.
And, we like that so, good mean, luck charm right there.
Me and Britt and him always talk about like, oh, that's how we got to keep it. But yeah, he's even at Stanford, he's like, I haven't lost my Rice Eccles yet, man. And so so it was fun. It felt like high school hearing our names again up there and seeing each other. So
you guys have gone through your non-conference schedule. You had the you know the tough game the first week, and then you had a relatively easy game and thought this one was going to be a little bit more challenging. Where do you think the defense is? Where do you think this whole football team is after all of your non-conference going into conference play?
Really, I think we all just took a step forward, building off this U week, which is what we wanted to do. Defensively, we just got our technique tightened up and everything. Really trying to build momentum into conference play because I think that's important. You know, as the season goes on, you really start to feel the flow and the energy of the team and the mindset, and you really start to see the belief in the unit as a whole. So offensively, you know, they're gonna keep doing their thing. You know, they're on point. Defensively as well, you know, I really felt like our identity showed up a lot more in this game.
What is the identity of the defense now? I mean, when you guys kind of start to establish yourselves, and I think we were talking about this, like you guys had to totally reset after the Florida game and get after yourselves, have your coaches get after you. So what is the identity? I mean, what is it that you guys talk about that you always harp on that you feel like you've probably gotten a little bit closer to now?
Oh, yeah. In our defensive unit room, you know, Coach Scally has the letters RSNB, and, you know, any Utah player that's come through the building will see those letters everywhere, and it stands for Relentless, Smart, Nasty Ball Hawks, and that's our culture, you know, and that's the standard the coaches have picked out for us, you know. And so the San Diego State game, you know, relentless, you know, we saw some big relentless plays. You know, off the top of my head, I think of, you know, Aliki, our teammate early on. He's running downfield, chasing quarterbacks, laid a big hit, you know, had some smart plays. We were able to get him to jump off sides a couple times. Showed some nasty defense. Everyone's swarming the ball, which makes the coaches happy. We saw that on film today. And, you know, we had some ball hawks out there. Rene with an awesome pick. Just read it like a book and was right there. And so just really had, you know, our culture show up in plays in the game. And, you know, that's just something we've been wanting to be consistently at.
One of the things that stood out to me was the defensive line getting pressure on the San Diego State quarterbacks. So there's three of them in the game before it was over. What was happening with you guys? And it wasn't linebackers, it wasn't blitz. It was the up four guys getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback when they were throwing the football.
Yeah, we just knew, you know, San Diego State's committed to the run, you know, and they got really good running backs and stuff. And so we felt that, you know, we handled the run just like our game plan into any game, you know, handle the run and get them to pass. And so, you know, once we're able to get them to start throwing, we can really just tee off on them. And so seeing Mickey and Ben get after it on the edges and stuff, and us guys on the inside, you know, working pressure to collapse the pocket was really good. And yeah, I mean, they handled the quarterback. So, I mean, we were all over him.
You were there a year ago in Carson when you guys played San Diego State down in Los Angeles. What was different this year? Because they're a well-coached team. They're a good team.
Brady Hoke has, like, he good comes, players. He I mean, comes yeah. with good scheme, everything.
So,
yeah.
So what was different between last year and this year?
On the defensive side, we felt like we stopped the run well last year, too. It's just, you know, a couple quarterback runs from last year's game. If you go back and look, that's some quarterbacks running and gashing us. So defensively, we just kind of looked at the game plan and just really focused in on our owning our technique, especially up front as a defensive line. You know, you saw us kind of go into a five-man front up there a couple times,
right,
which was wanting to be the game plan and stuff. But, you know, we felt like we're handling it well out of just our four-man front with a team that runs the ball so much. So really the message from Coach Witt and Coach Scally was, and even Coach Ellis was talking about, was, you know, you can always think of a scheme of this and that and whatnot, but really what comes down to it, you know, Division I football, you know, they got athletes that they recruit. We got athletes that we recruit. It comes down to just that, that desire and the execution of how physical you are. And so, we definitely had a chip on our shoulder. We had some stuff, you know, we said we got some crap in our neck, you know, just really want to get back at these guys.
Hold on. What does a crap on her neck mean? I mean, I've heard a lot of sports analogies.
This sounds like one of my mixed metaphors.
This sounds like one of Scott's like classic. Like,
wait, I need to write this down.
Hold on. You got some poop on your neck, kid. Like, where does this come from?
Yeah, we all say, you know, like, it's another way of, you know, a chip on your shoulder. You know, you got some crap in your neck. Just, you know, like, you ever sleep on your neck wrong? You wake up in a bad attitude because your neck is aching. It's a little tight. In other words, you got a chip on the shoulder.
Wait, is it cramp in the neck or is it crap on the neck?
you got some crap in your neck. You walk around like you got some crap in your neck, like. Like, you're uncomfortable, you're angry, you're irritated.
That would be irritating.
I would be extremely irritated. I'd be extremely irritated, Devin, if I went to bed, I woke up, and I had crap on my neck. I would be way irritated.
Yeah, in the sense of, you know, just like, hey, it's just like, nothing more irritating when you've got the neck pain.
No, so. Nothing more irritating
No, man,
that.
Listen. What is it? It's like, what do you have on your neck there a little bit? Some crap on the old neck there. Yeah.
That's a guy. Yeah, I got some crap on my neck, and I got to fix it. Yeah. You know?
All right. get some treatment for that. Hey, yeah. So, Devin, I'm you know, as we watch this thing happen, I'm convinced, and I think every game is going to feel like this from now on. I think the identity of this team, because every year you look for identity, you think about what the identity of the team was last year. It was pretty obvious, right? And what the motivation was, pretty obvious. And that'll always be, I think, an underlying thing for this team, and always have that special connection to those two players. It's big. But I think identity-wise for this year, I can't imagine that it's going to be anything. I mean, one of the main storylines is going to be after that Florida loss, .. We had to take care of business the rest of the way out. And I feel like every game now, everybody goes in and goes, that is not going to happen to us this game. Is that the estimation you think that's going to kind of happen like the rest of the year? It's, hey, we're sort of playing from behind when it comes from a national standpoint where it's like, look, if we want to get some recognition, and even though you guys are 13th in the polls, you're 2-1 on the season, and you have all sorts of green in front of you, but it feels like that there's still this this playing catch-up a little bit, and that's probably a good thing for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, there's something to prove each week. You know, we're going down to ASU. You know, we're stepping on the field, and, you know, the underlining as a defense is, hey, like, you made guys pay for stepping on the field with you, you know. And it's been showing up in our week of practice. We had an awesome week of practice last week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, and it's what we strive to do each week was, you know, have a game like we had this past weekend.
A year ago, Devin Lloyd was the leader of the defense. As you watch this defense develop and each week get better and better, and some new faces, who is the leader of the defense?
I feel like our defense as a whole, yeah, you know, is having Devin back there, and, you know, he was really, really the standout and everything. You know what? I feel like everyone defensively, no crazy stuff. I feel like I can't think of one person. You know, I think of a defense line up front. You know, we got Junior in there building off a great freshman year. We got Van as well. You know, we got Karene as well coming off a great year. You know, Lander's coming in and contributing. Mahmood has been an awesome addition to our defense this year. And it'll be great to see him come back. You know, of course, we have Mr. Clark Phillips. He's the man. You know, even JT Bronze, you know, I think he's the most underrated player on our defense. You know, he's just always doing his job to such a high degree. And then our safety's back there. You know, we have RJ. RJ's back. RJ Hubert's back making plays, you know, showing up in the run game, which is awesome. And, you know, Cole Bishop as well. And so I really think of one name. I you know, we think of leaders and everything. I think all of us are just taking it on as, you know, we want to be that nasty defense that Utah has, and it takes all of us.
Yeah, that's what I kind of felt, you know, because I was like, okay, it seems because you guys did not look good the first game, right? It was just yeah. So and the next week, boy, it just was like so different. And even this week was different from last. Like, it was better, you know. And I know that internally, like, you guys have to talk to each other, and you have to, And I was just curious, like, who was talking, but it just felt like everyone got the message, or everyone was sharing the message, or everyone was on the same page with things. And I guess for me, that's kind of exciting, you know, because when you have it at all three levels where guys are holding each other accountable and guys are holding to a standard and guys are willing to, you know, put in the work and show up on game day, that should get really exciting for you guys, I would think.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I really just appreciate our coaches, you know, me being the older guy and my fifth year in the program. So it's just really seeing our coaches, you know, have that high expectation for us, but also, you know, show with a lot of love, even some tough love, you know, and every position group just, you know, coming together and just figuring out together. So it's definitely encouraging, definitely exciting. And I think that's how we took it, you know, after the Florida loss was, hey, let's, you know, instead of getting, you know, frustrated, let's just focus. And I think that's what we've taken to heart.
Did you get some tough love?
Oh
yeah. I got some tough love for sure.
You get a little crap on your neck.
Oh yeah. You know, in the sense of, I don't want to think back to the week after, you know, after that Florida game. So
I remember you sent it. Yeah. We were going to record that day, and it was like, hey, they changed our schedule up a little bit. Was it just your schedule changed up a little bit? Like, was it like a Saturday school type situation? It was almost like being in detention or something. Or I guess everybody takes it in the chin when a game like that happens, though, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but hey, it's you know, looking back at it now, and you know, that's why you always want, you know, losses or you know, when you know, you face hardships in life, you always want to look back and say, hey, you know, we were able to turn. You know, that was a turning point for us, and we were able to turn around. Kind of like we mentioned, you know, .. Let's keep writing our story.
Devin Cafusi, of course, every week right here on the Players Club on Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by Zions Bank. And we're watching the video right now here in the studio, but Herm Edwards walked off of the field in the loss to Eastern Michigan in Tempe last weekend. Start the season off 1-2. He's now dismissed as the head coach. He gets fired. The video we're watching is that he's walking off the field, and the athletic director and the president of the university called him over in the end zone, and they have a little chat. Now, no one knows what was exactly said. I don't think anybody really thinks that he was fired there, or at least maybe there was a hey, expect a Zoom meeting invite for tomorrow morning, because the next day he was let go. You guys start to watch film on a team, but it seems a little irrelevant, you know, after, I mean, you can watch the guys and the personnel, but they're going to have an interim head coach next week. You guys are going down. This program is now officially in shambles, if it wasn't before. How do you approach a game like that where there's a bunch of off the field stuff this other team is dealing with, and you guys are going in there and they're going to have to face maybe the toughest team in the Pac-12 week one with a new interim head coach?
As much as, you know, as tough as is in their position, everything, we always talk about, you know, football is unforgiving, and people just don't care. You know, people don't care if you're hurt, or, you know, talk about last year, you know, guys getting hurt. They don't care about that. They don't care or know, and they choose not to care. And, you know, in the game of football, the only thing that matters is, you know, wins and is winning, really, just getting that win in the win column. And so, I can't say anything for ASU and what, you know, what they're facing this week and stuff, but all I know is, you know, we're approaching this week knowing it's conference play, it's ASU, you know, there's some you know, coming into Utah, you know, all I've heard is just, you know, the bad blood between ASU and Utah, and so we're on the road, so we're looking to go down and, you know, make a statement down there with the momentum of this preseason. So yeah, I mean, tough situation, you know, especially even I just think of, like, being around, you know, being a coach's son growing up and seeing coaches go through stuff and you know, players and being a player and stuff, or, you know, a brother to the players and everything that happens. It's it's a crazy sport. It's a crazy life song, you know. So, but hey, all I know is Saturday comes around Saturday night in Tempe, you know, we'll be there. We'll be ready.
That's the unforgiving part. That's where Utah shows up and goes, don't care what you're going through. We have a situation to get through ourselves here. So
that's a statement.
Exactly.
Football is unforgiving. It's so true. It really is.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm curious because you talked about the bad blood between ASU and Utah, and the games have been chippy. You know, the last two games have been real chippy. And, I mean, even Herms, you know, said after the game, hey, we just don't do those kinds of things. But they did them. You know, you guys are on the road. How do you prepare for a game that, like, you have to prepare for their best. You just have to do that. It'd be foolish not to. But how do you prepare differently or for a game that is on the road?
Not too crazy. I mean, I think, you know, conference play is nice because, you know, on the road, it's not the biggest of travel, you know, as to say the Florida game where right. We head out a day early because of the time changes and everything. Like I mentioned, you know, Coach talked about earlier, you know, championship teams win on the road. And so just having that mindset of, you know, hey, we're going to enemy territory. You know, let that kind of fuel your practice and your prep and stuff. And we're going down to see a Southern Region conference rival, so to say. And so, yeah, just dial in. I really think you just dial in. And Coach Witt always talks about, you know, every week it should just be rinse and repeat. You know, that same feeling of, you know, dialed in and just trusting the process. That was brought up this past week too. After a great prep week was, you know, every day is set up for a reason. You know, you trust the process throughout the whole week that, you know, by game day, you know, we're at our peak performance.
You know, you mentioned the South opponent. There's no more North and South in conference play, right? So how does that change anything for you guys, or is it just kind of the same? Because I guess you'd have to kind of pay attention to everyone in the conference as you go through the conference. I mean, because it's the goal is to win the conference, right? And
Oh yeah, for sure. And so, you know, we talked about that last year was, you know, asking each other, you know, Coach Kelly made a point, you know, what game was a big game for us? And everyone could argue this and that, but, you know, inside college football, especially inside the conference, you know, every week's a big game, you know, every week, you know, affects your standings and everything. You know, it all plays into the big picture. And so, and the best thing to do is, just, you know, just flat out win. Winning solves everything, like we always talk about.
We were looking at the schedule, too, and I was thinking about how this conference play, you guys go to Arizona State, and then you come back and you host Oregon State, a team that you guys lost to last year, of course, and then UCLA, you go down to the Rose Bowl. And then that USC game looms, and SC looks really sharp. For as much as we, I think, probably tried to tell ourselves, nah, they're not going to be that good that quick. It's sort of proven otherwise. We look around the conference, the Pac-12 had a heck of a weekend, to be real. They've been, it was a really good weekend overall for the conference, minus, you know, Herm Edwards and Arizona State. So when you see that everybody's performing, everybody's kind of playing there, you look at these games, every one of these teams you face in the next four games, Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, and USC, they all have their own challenges there. But that's kind of a brutal, you know, go that you have. And it doesn't let up either because Washington State at Wazoo is going to be a tough game too after USC. So the Pac-12 is looking a lot better this year. And you guys, that means you guys are going to have to run through even more difficult opponents in the next few weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's, you know, the reason why, you know, people complained in the Pac-12 was, you know, growing up, my dad always said, you know, Ed, you know, any weekend, you know, anyone can get it. And you see that in college football, week in and week out. And so, yeah, no, props to them, you know, as the reigning champs right now, we just know and expect that, hey, we're going to get the best shot out of everyone in our conference. So, you know, we got to do all we can to, you know, to stay on the throne and to protect, you know, and to bring back another championship. So definitely got some good week ahead of us, good weeks ahead of us. But, yeah, just rinse and repeat one week at a time. You know, Coach Witt, our saying as a team, you know, is 1-0 each week. Just each week, just go 1-0.
What do you know about ASU?
ASU, similar to last year, they got some new transfers. I think they'll be a big quicker than San Diego State, you know, only just from what I've watched as a defensive lineman on the film on the mark, was I think we get similar stuff that San Diego State did. Yeah, they got some athletes for sure, and so just everyone, you know, doing their 1-11th and beating their one-on-ones is going to be a big factor.
Devin Kaufusi, we love having you on the show every week here and breaking things down. After a game, what's the thing that you enjoy the most after a win? What's the thing that you look forward to and you go, that's awesome? Is it the meal afterward? Is it the Sunday where you can put your feet up? Or what does that look like after you win a game like that in such a dominating fashion, and you guys know that you had such a good performance on defense? What does a Saturday like that look like, or the weekend look like after a game like that?
Oh, man, I got a smile on my face all day. I got a smile, and you know what I love, feeling like the old mother goose on the team is just, I love seeing all the smiles too on the team, and seeing all the young guys and just everyone on the whole team, no matter their role, or really just everyone in the building, no matter what they do, just everyone's happy from winning. Just seeing everything pay off is so satisfying. And it's what, really, I think one thing is just seeing that fight song in the locker room after a win is awesome. And from there, the smile doesn't come off from there. So Sunday's a little beat up. Everyone goes into treatment and stuff. Everyone's, walking around a little slower, a little tired and stuff. But everyone's satisfied. And, that's why everyone plays a sport. You leave it out on the field and stuff, and you reap what you sow.
Who's the oldest guy on the team now?
So, Jordan Noya, our kicker, is actually older than me. He gets let off a bit, being a international student and everything.
Yeah.
So it's definitely me. And I remember Gabe, when Gabe transferred, everyone was giving a hard time for how old he is. And he just kept saying, "Oh, Dev's a couple of weeks older than me." So,
see, that's so, good too. You can't call yourself the old mother goose of the team. We got to come up with something better than
Father
that.
Time.
Father Time. There you go.
That's from now on. You shall be known henceforth, Devin, as Father Time. I'm sorry. It's just going to be the way it is. We might change all the imaging of the show. We might change it all to joining us on the Players Club. Father Time from the University of Utah. I don't know. In terms of people who've played as long, in terms of journeys, there are very few people who've had this wild of a journey as you've had in college football. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I feel definitely aged after the journey I've been through. So,
All right, Devin, we hope you keep it rolling here. Good luck. Have fun down in Tempe, because it should be a fun one. I mean, my heavens, when another program's trying to pick up the pieces and you guys roll in there, it's a good time to be able to get them, and it is. Kyle Whittingham is unforgiving too, by the way. It's not just football, so it'll be fun to watch this weekend. Dev, have a good one, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There you go, Devin Kaufusi. More to go on the Players Club. Stay right here with us. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Introducing, this is the Cougars at 30 update, presented by Zions Bank on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Cougars at 30 update right here. Brought to you by Zions Bank. If I can get the right one here. Yes, here we go. Kalani Sitake says, a lot of the credit needs to be given to Oregon, how they executed, not just that BYU did not execute.
Credit to Oregon, because they did some things differently on defense, on offense, utilizing their personnel. Did a lot of empty sets. They went big and went to a lot of spread sets. And we were ready for that in practice, but it seems like whenever we made a mistake, Bo Nix and the offense capitalized on it. And then if you're just looking at scheme, that's how it worked. But we were missing tackles, and that's not what we... I honestly don't think that's our type of play.
Cougars at 30 update brought to you by Zions Bank. Big time banking with the home team feel that you can count on. Zions Bank is for you. More to go around the corner. NFL Roundup up next.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Go, what is that?
And, the other guy, on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, NFL Roundup right here with you, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Appropriate to have the NFL Roundup music as the first NFL game of the evening, a Monday night football matchup between the old Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. Bills up early, 7-0. Derrick Henry's a monster. I forget about how much of a monster he is. Massive. I like watching this Bills team. And you know what I noticed, too, is that, Scott, you've talked about how the Bills are a proud fan base.
Yeah.
In terms of fan bases in the NFL, because I think we look at college teams and go, no. College teams have way crazier fans, way better fans. But does the NFL, is there a ranking of best fans in the NFL? Worst fans have to be Cowboy fans, right? We just go.
I don't know if they're the worst fans, and the Cowboys have a national appeal to them, you know.
Yes.
And there are certain teams that kind of have that. Surprisingly, a team like Green Bay, that's so homegrown and has that homegrown fan base,
might be the most passionate.
But they have a national following, right? But,
yes, yeah.
Those folks are. I mean, Green Bay, Wisconsin has 100,000 people. That's the population of Green Bay.
How many do they get in Lambeau? 70?
Yeah,
somewhere around.
I mean, it's a great stadium.
Are you a family embarrassment in Green Bay if you don't have season tickets, but you are like a lifer in Green Bay, and you're like, I mean, that's an embarrassment for the family.
That's not a question that's qualified to answer.
That's grounds for divorce. If somebody's marrying into a family and they don't have season tickets,
but let me tell you, one of the best fan bases, the Washington football team, Commandos, whatever they are, they had an amazing fan base. I mean, folks, but they've kind of almost. I mean, they're look, here. I guess here's the barometer when you say that, like, in divorces, if that becomes the thing that you're fighting over the most. That's when you have a good fan base.
Oh, you mean the season tickets?
Yeah. Yeah, when you get a divorce and it's the season tickets.
But the better part would be you get the divorce, but you both still agree to go to the games together.
Probably has happened on more than one occasion.
Yeah. That's the best.
Look, we can argue all the time, but not when football's
right, on. And there's no point in having a a situation where you have I get to go to four games and you get to go to four games. We can both go if we could just grow up and make this thing work. Now, I can't be married to you, but I'll sit next to you at a football game and we can cheer for the
first
team.
So Buffalo, they've got a great fan base because, let's face it, they are Buffalo, right? There's not a whole lot other than the Bills to be excited about in Buffalo.
What's funny is the Rams won the Super Bowl last year and they've worst fans, but like fans who just don't feel like they've been really fans. For a while.
You know who the fans of the Rams are?
It's all the celebrities.
All the celebrities.
So dumb.
Yeah, which that's not really a fan base.
Same thing. Tampa Bay. I don't think to myself, man, what a proud group. What a proud group of fans.
No,
in Tampa Bay.
No. Now Tampa Bay. Here, the challenge with Tampa Bay, it's a lot of old retired people.
Yeah.
So they've already established who they like. Same thing
so
happened in Miami.
So they refresh every couple of years. They die, and a new group of retirees.
Whoever comes in, it's like, and a lot of people that come to Tampa typically,
Tampa.
They're more Midwest people. So they're going to be Chicago Bears. They're going to be Detroit Lions. Now, Miami, that's the New York pipeline. Those folks there are going to be, they're going to be the, what shall we call? They're going to be the Giants, the Jets, the Bills. I don't think people from upstate New York, though, retire to South Florida.
So the Jaguars beat the Colts yesterday 24-0. Indy hasn't won in Jacksonville since 2014. I feel a little nervous for your pal Frank Reich, the head coach there at the Indianapolis Colts, because they lost to Jacksonville last year down there. And it was the thing that kept them out of the playoffs. This one feels a little bit more dire.
They're a team where they kind of were close, right? And they've kind of made some bad choices. At, I mean, Andrew Luck retires, and that was bad luck. Carson Wentz was personally vouched for by Frank Reich, and that was an unmitigated disaster, according to the Colts. You know, and who knows all the ins and outs of that. So you kind of lose some capital there if you're Frank Reich and you vouch for a guy and he's terrible. And now they've gone the old quarterback route, which you know, sometimes it works out, Peyton Manning, and you could argue Brett Favre, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, it remains to be seen about Russell Wilson, and it'll remain to be seen about Matt Ryan. I thought Matt Ryan, if you're asking about older quarterbacks who are probably closer to being on the shelf, I would think Matt Ryan's much closer than...
Yeah, I think he's so, too. He's one of seven quarterbacks in NFL history who have thrown now for 60,000
You know
yards.
The guy that should have gone somewhere?
Where?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, but now he has gone somewhere. Isn't it just perfect? All the offseason crap that we talked about, yes, and all the stuff that goes on. Trey Lance breaks his ankle, which, by the way, I was reading today. It wasn't just the broken tib that he had to get repaired. He also tore a bunch of ligaments at the same time. So he ends up having to get knee surgery. He ends up having to get the bone fixed, and also had to get the had to go ahead and get his ligaments fixed as well.
Well, this
so he's
is
out
what's
the rest
so
of the year,
good.
And then Jimmy G comes in and does what Jimmy G does and blows up my freaking Seahawks. So but screw all you guys.
Well, this is why the NFL is so great, because there is this drama. I mean, we had Jeremiah on earlier, and he goes, like, there was this vendetta against Mike Shanahan and all of these things. And it's a real thing. It like, is, they're petty, and they have all these
big time,
all these stupid things going on. And they just – they don't necessarily go, can the guy win? Can the guy – you know, does the guy have talent? And that's all that should matter. But it doesn't. People are just – they get these vendettas, and they get – and they just – and they hold it against people. I mean, you have Johnny Unitas, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Johnny Unitas sat and played with the Rooney's kids when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They never played him.
Right.
Right? And you're just like, so I love stories like this.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about earlier about the arrogance of the NFL being just kind of having it rubbed in its nose.
And people who just put, including the 49ers organization, who were this close to putting him out to pasture, are now relying on him to win all the rest of the games for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And if he's not there, what are they doing?
I mean, they would have been – they're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
They win that game yesterday because of Jimmy Garoppolo.
They probably will win their division.
Gosh, it's depressing, isn't it? All right, let's take a break here.
If you're a 49ers fan, it isn't.
We'll come back. Yeah, the Broncos' deficiencies yesterday, so much fun. So much fun.
See, there's your vendetta.
Yeah, see? No, I've hated the Broncos forever. Now, the Seahawks, I don't want to talk about it. I told you they're going to get right back to Sucksville. Took 1 week. There we go. All right, let's take the break here. More to go here on the program. When we return, have our two-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Online Trading Academy brings you the NFL Roundup. It teaches people just like you to make the same moves at the same time that the Wall Street elites do. Sign up for their 3-day market timing course for only $99. Text $99 to 25029. That's $99 to 25029. More to go around the corner. Our 2-minute drill's next. Stay with us.
It's game week for the Cougars, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. The Cougars return to Provo for a battle against former Mountain West Conference rival Wyoming. Listen all week long for the best coverage of Cougar football and your chance to win tickets to the game. Then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 7 with a postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Shariza's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.